welcome to the first of many nightly recaps of bracket season here on the College Basketball Bonanza. My name is Nicholas Hodel. Nick Camilli joins me, and it's been an interesting few days. I know for me, getting into Las Vegas, celebrating March here in Las Vegas, and covering part of the Pac-12 Women's Tournament. Definitely been an interesting few days for me here, Nick. How about yourself?
It's been great, you know, just watching some, you know, college basketball, these conference tournaments have began to start up, and, you know, it's been great. You know, March has started off on a great foot.
Absolutely, and these conference tournaments, several of them have already started, and we, I know we were talking about this earlier, and nothing too surprising, I think, has caught our attention, and there is a goal over at T-Mobile Arena right next to us, so we got that going over there. Anyway, the 9th seed Charleston Southern on the Big South taking out High Point. Very, very close game there. Campbell, the 7th seed over Presbyterian in the 10. They will have their quarterfinals going on Friday. The NEC, it was a complete chalk fest in the quarterfinals. Perhaps nothing too surprising there, but all sub-300 KenPom teams definitely makes things a bit interesting there. Chalk in the OVC, Southeast Missouri, the 5 over Lindenwood, and SIUE over USI in the 6-7 game there. And then we had all kinds of other stuff in previous days as well. It was complete chalk in the Horizon League first round on the 28th. Arkansas State, this might be the one that was really interesting to me here, Nick. Arkansas State, the 13 over the 12 Coastal Carolina, this really wasn't all that close.
Oh, absolutely. You know, for a game that, you know, in my conference tournament breakdown, I actually picked Coastal Carolina to win this one. So them not even winning it by, but losing it by almost 20, the, you know, final score 86-69 here, that caught me off guard a little bit. You know, I was really surprised by almost seemed like the lack of Coastal Carolina defense. You know, the way that it seemed like Arkansas State could score all over them. You know, Terrence Ford Jr. with 25. They had a 20-point performance off the bench from Marquise Davis. I mean, just, you know, full props to Arkansas State because, you know, they were getting efficient buckets. That's the most important part.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was definitely an intriguing one, to say the least. And I think one of the crazier tournaments so far has been the ACC tournament with the Bowerman game winner in the first round and then Queens. You know, this is one I had a feeling, yes, Kennesaw State beat Queens in the quarter here, Nick, but I had a feeling Queens would make things interesting because they've done this several times throughout the year against teams like Kennesaw State and Liberty, and they gave Kennesaw State an absolute run for its money.
I mean, yeah, Queens is an absolutely really scrappy team that, you know, you can't really sleep on. You look at the games that they've had this year, you know, closing out the season with their you know, they had that back-to-back series against Liberty with – oh, hold on. Actually, scratch that. I was looking at the wrong game.
All good.
I was looking at the wrong team on bracketologist here.
Oh, man. Too many teams, too many games, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, this is a really, you know, scrappy Queens team. You look at some of the games they've had this year. You know, they had that win on the road against Kennesaw State earlier on in the year, early on in February. And, you know, for this game to be that close, it's not completely unexpected. I mean, Kennesaw State still walked away with the W, but, like, you know, how close that game was. I went down to the, you know, down to the wire, basically. It was a big learning moment for Kennesaw State coming in at such a high seed and almost getting bounced so early. You know, they have to really be careful coming up in, you know, in the semifinals and maybe the championship game.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened to Longwood in the Big South last year. Longwood team last year had the pressure of a program that had never done anything remotely close to what it had done in that particular season. Kennesaw State, that exact same kind of program this year. And that quarterfinal really was a big moment for Kennesaw State to get over that hump. So now the question will remain, does Kennesaw State have an easier time with Linscomb in the semifinal, or will that be a tight game too? That'll be something for tomorrow's action to be very, very curious about. And there is an awful lot happening tomorrow, just to kind of give you a small piece, just a quick overview of what's all to come tomorrow and what you'll be hearing on tomorrow night's recap. The A-Sun Semis, that Kennesaw State Lincecum game and also Liberty in Eastern Kentucky. I'm still thinking that Kennesaw State and Liberty are on a collision course for the A-Sun Championship this coming Sunday. Which one of those matchups are you looking forward to most?
I'm looking forward to seeing how Kennesaw State can bounce back. Obviously, Lipscomb is a very, very solid program as well out of the A-Sun. You know, they're 2-3 ranked in that conference in the net. So that one's going to be such a great battle, you know, considering how close Kennesaw State came to losing to Queens. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, if the Kennesaw State Owls, will they be able to bounce back and, you know, come back with a vengeance? Or is this a sign that, hey, maybe they're not as legit as they were in the regular season? It's really up to that game.
Yeah, that will be a very interesting one. And that'll really set the tone for Kennesaw State. If that's another shaky game going to the final against potentially Liberty, that can really set the tone there as Liberty with Darius McGee. I would imagine you have no problem with Eastern Kentucky. Out in the Valley, it's Arch Madness beginning up with a full slate of first-round games thanks to expansion. You know, I think we all need a little more Arch Madness in our lives, Nick, and we certainly got it there with all kinds of intrigue there. The Sun Belt Conference also with a full slate of quarterfinal games. The top four seeds will await the winners on Saturday. The Horizon League, though, this might be one of the bigger stories in all of college basketball tomorrow night. Detroit Mercy against Youngstown State. Antoine Davis, he's so close to the scoring record. I think he's going to get the job done. And this would be quite the moment for Antoine Davis if he gets the job done, break the scoring record. You know, he's certainly had a different career path at a place like Detroit Mercy, a place where he has been the primary scoring option. He has excelled. And I think he has that major opportunity. And if he gets it, yeah, it'll be on the road. But I do think it's going to feel really special, Nick.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, 38 in the last game against Purdue Fort Wayne. 34 before that. And you look at the season he's had, you know, a couple 40-point games so far. He's been on an absolute tear. Just an amazing story. And, you know, it's likely to he breaks it. What's the number that he needs?
I think it's 26. That's the fourth goal horn I've heard tonight, by the way. Holy moly. Golden Knights are on fire over at T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah, I remember seeing a graphic after the game. It was like 26 seems like the number right now. And, you know, with the way that he's been scoring, he hasn't scored under that much since, I think, you know, his last game against Youngstown State in January. So maybe also sort of a revenge game is mine, also matched with the conference tournament mindset, also matched with, hey, I need to break this scoring record. I think we're in for a absolute treat from Antoine Davis.
Yeah, and then two other conferences with quarterfinal games tomorrow, the Patriot League and the Ohio Valley Conference. And the West Coast Conference gets kickstarted here in Las Vegas over at the Orleans Arena. I will be at these first round games, Portland, San Diego, the first one, and then Pacific and Pepperdine, assuming that UCLA, Arizona women's game doesn't run ridiculously long. That's a story I will tell with the UCLA, Arizona State game. That was a whole lot of fun earlier today. And so that is a little bit of a taste of what you might expect here. Not so much the brush over, but coming soon, all the detail on all of these conference tournament games. And there's a lot of them tomorrow. So tomorrow night's recap is going to be a whole lot of fun. For me, the Pac-12 Women's Tournament getting underway, and I have the distinct honor alongside Jonah Krell of covering it for Arizona PBS Cronkite News. Arizona State, the 12th seed, having only won one conference game, they nearly pulled off an improbable comeback, down 19 points midway through the third quarter. They fight, they claw their way, they take the lead late in regulation, they go to overtime, and UCLA breaks the Pac-12 tournament record for overtime points at 19 in a single overtime period. But I came away from that game so impressed with just how ASU just continued the battle. Their defense was what enabled the comeback attempt. UCLA was completely on ice in the second half shooting-wise. By the way, a complete opposite of the first beating in the regular season where UCLA could hardly miss anything and pulled away from ASU. So you could see the improvement over the course of time. You can check out my ASU recap on that over on cronkitenews.azpbs.org. But certainly an interesting one. UCLA, Arizona, a couple of top 25 women's teams. I'm really looking forward to seeing how U of A takes on UCLA in that quarterfinal with a winner, perhaps getting Stanford in a Friday night semifinal. So again, you will be hearing a little bit more on all of the conference tournament games on the men's side, a little bit of that experience tomorrow night here on your preferred podcast platforms. I wanted to round things out tonight. It's a little bit of a shorter show, but trust me, it will not be this short going forward. A couple of regular season championships getting their tickets punched. Texas falling to TCU. This was the second leg of what Kansas did to clinch the Big 12 regular season outright title before the monster showdown of Kansas and Texas. Texas, this is a really competitive game, first off. I think this is going to be a really good win for TCU in particular to build some momentum going into Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament next week. But certainly a big one for the Horned Frogs and also for the Kansas Jayhawks. Another outright Big 12 title.
Absolutely. Just a great game here. You know, Texas almost pulled off a comeback. Came in down 12 out of the first half. And it looked like, you know, they were out of it, but, you know, they were really able to build back up, almost came away with the win on the road. But, you know, what a great game by TCU. You know, fans storming the floor afterwards, you know, just great scenes down there. And, you know, really big for, you know, as you mentioned, the Big 12 regular season championship race. Kansas Jayhawks, you know, they look very, very solid all year. And, you know, having that one seed going into, you know, such a competitive, you know, we've talked all year about how competitive the Big 12 is. Going in with that seeding advantage is going to mean so much for them.
Absolutely. And it's a big difference in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas. For them to survive the gauntlet as outright champions before the final day of the regular season, I think that's very telling of what the Jayhawks have accomplished in the Big 12. I think they should absolutely be the overall number one seed at this point. And if they win the Big 12 tournament championship in addition to that, they will definitely be in that prime position to go to Houston. And then over in the state of Alabama, the Iron Bowl of basketball, Alabama winning the outright SEC regular season championship over Auburn tonight. But this was not a game that this was Sue Smaling. Auburn made it really difficult, and I have to give so much props to Auburn. They probably needed that win a lot more than Alabama did, if we're being completely honest with ourselves, with the bubble situation for the Auburn Tigers. But certainly a big win for Alabama to secure that SEC regular season championship here, Nick, and a missed opportunity for Auburn.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it gets really tough in those bubble situations, obviously, you know, on the bracket matrix. They were still on that kind of still receiving a couple, you know, votes from experts. But, I mean, if this is what ends it, ends our season, at least in terms of, you know, getting a chance to go to March Madness, that's a real bummer, especially with such a close game on the road to a rival. That would have been the, you know, perfect opportunity to, you know, not only get your, you know, fans into it, but also that's a really, really impressive win on your resume. But wasn't able to pull it out. You know, very impressive to send it to overtime against, you know, the number two team in the nation right now. But, I mean, now it's just another win for Alabama as they keep, you know, racking them up. Only four losses in the regular season.
Yeah, and then that's about as good as a team can play against an arch rival on the road without winning the basketball game. I mean, Auburn put on a really good performance, I thought, against the Alabama Crimson Tide. It's not a win. It's not really going to help. But I think that should give Auburn some confidence going to the SEC tournament. Though, really, if the logic from last year's committee applies this year, it may not matter. I mean, because the way teams like Texas A&M got hosed for trying to do something in their conference tournament. So Arbor, I mean, if that logic applies this year, there might be some teams that get really screwed, which is super unfortunate, but just kind of the way things really fall there. One final note tonight, Maryland falling to Ohio State, Kentucky falling to Vanderbilt. That one was really intriguing. And that was in Lexington too. So that was a really difficult game for Kentucky to take an L on. I mean, if that doesn't raise the alarm bells, what's it good for Kentucky? I mean, this is kind of what Kentucky's been doing, you know? They'll find a way to win a game, you know, maybe string a few wins together, and then they'll bring in a really questionable loss to the equation. That's what Kentucky's done. And it has inspired no confidence in the Kentucky Wildcats whatsoever. And I do wonder how they're going to respond to that on the weekend, obviously in the SEC tournament. Because now I think for Kentucky's sake, to go into the NCAA tournament with a good feeling, they have got to right this ship. They cannot have any more questionable performances like that before the NCAA tournament for me to have any faith in them of winning a tournament game, period.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've had these questions throughout the season. They've kind of made a resurgence as of late. But I mean, if this is a telling sign of, you know, what's to come in the near future for them, it is not looking very good.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the alarm bell should be popping off here. I mean, really, the SEC is in an interesting spot, I think, to where you got that Kentucky team with all the questions around them. Tennessee losing Sakai Ziegler for the year, that really hurts the Volunteers on a really unfortunate non-contact knee injury. Those hardly ever spell good news, and this one didn't for Ziegler in a real unfortunate manner. And I really think the SEC tournament, it's looking like Alabama's going to win this thing, in my opinion. I mean, I cannot trust anyone outside of Alabama, and that really put an exclamation point on that. And then Maryland also to Ohio State. I'll touch on Maryland in a second here, but Ohio State, I have to give them some props. You know, after losing so many of these games in heartbreaking fashion, close games, you know, loss after loss after loss, you know, they could have simply just sat down, you know, not done a whole lot, you know, just close to the end of the year, just get to the offseason and move on. No, they picked up two quality wins in a row. And while that's not going to get them anywhere near the NCAA tournament, now you're building confidence. And who knows, with how crazy the Big Ten's been this year, maybe Ohio State starts peaking in the right time, and they start causing chaos in Chicago. But for Ohio State for this game, Nick, how do you feel about the Buckeyes?
Oh, I mean, this looked like an absolutely new team, you know, as of these last two games, but specifically this one. Just great scoring top to bottom. You know, you had your expected, you know, Justice Suing 16-point game because he's been a beast. 8 for 8 from the free throw line. As the team went 20 for 20, which is, you know, something very, very impressive. You see a lot of teams struggle, and making all of them for that many is pretty impressive. But, you know, 6 players in double digits, your entire starting lineup plus Bryce Sensabaugh coming off the bench. I mean, this looked like a great team, you know. And they played fairly good defense on Maryland as well. You know, that's, you know, one of the better teams in this country. And, you know, they held only 2 players to double digits, led the whole team to 62 points on 44% shooting. I mean, this is the best game out of Ohio State you could have seen.
Absolutely. And I mean, it certainly sets things up well for Chicago if they're going to try and pull anything crazy out of their Buckeyes. There, that's certainly an interesting situation there. For Maryland, I mean, this just feels like typical Big Ten. I mean, everything's going to come down to the final weekend of the year for the Big Ten, from 2 to like 9. I mean, this is utterly ridiculous, Nick. And once again, results like this are why the Big Ten is going to have maybe one team in the second weekend, possibly 2. If it's Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, they just beat each other up. I mean, it wasn't even the other week where they beat Purdue. I mean, they just beat a red-hot Northwestern team. Then they turn around and lose games like these. I mean, they're just going to wear each other down. You could say sharpens iron, iron sharpens iron, but this, they're going to get too tired. I mean, it's going to make for a great conference tournament, but in terms of getting ready for March Madness, it is looking a little rough for the Big Ten.
Yeah, iron sharpening iron is what I call the Big 12. What I would call the Big 10 is mid sharpening mid. I mean, it's an absolute disaster for the Big 10 this year. And I mean, every year, I think the good advice would be to pick against the Big 10. I don't know if there's been a single year within this national championship drought the Big 10 has been on where that has been any more applicable than this. I mean, this is just, it's not good. Outside of Purdue and Indiana. I mean, it's not good. And I mean, the Big Ten tournament's gonna be really fun to watch. You know, CBS will probably be sweating some bullets trying to get their ideal matchup. Spoiler, they will not. But we'll have to end up seeing what happens. You know, this is why we play the games. The Big Ten has shown us that. And the Big Ten tournament is bound to be a crazy one next week. So that'll wrap things up. Bit of a shorter nightly recap, but again, it's just a taste of what's to come as tomorrow night, Patriot League quarterfinals are on the docket. OVC quarters are on the docket. Horizon League quarters, Sun Belt, second round action there. Missouri Valley quarters, A-Sun semis. And then you have a bunch of other stuff. So it's going to be a very crazy nightly recap from here on out. We're really hoping you take the time to follow us on Twitter at College Bonanza. Maybe follow us on your preferred podcast platform as well so you do not miss a single episode from now until the Nets are cut in Houston on that first Monday in April. Nick Keneally and Nicholas Hodel, have a very good night. We'll see you right back here tomorrow night for more coverage of bracket season.